Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or tea, sit back, relax, and let's chat about what is going on in the stars over our heads. I hope you all were able to view the total lunar eclipse last night. It was so fabulous. Good morning, Michelle. She said she gets to watch the whole show today. That's right. The kids are out of school today to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And isn't that a wonderful day for them? Especially because I hope they were outside kind of looking at the stars. You know, here in the Pacific Northwest, I almost never, ever get to see the eclipses, especially in the winter because we have clouds and or rain. And last night there were breaks in the clouds, so I was able to actually watch the eclipse, and it was so beautiful, wasn't it? If you got to see it, I'm sure it just stirs something deep in your soul to be able to connect visually with something as gorgeous as an eclipse. And there were times the clouds would filter across the moon, and I lost sight of it, so I would be sort of sad, and I'd come inside, and then my husband, who stayed outside most of the time, would say, "Come back, it's out." So I'd go running back outside, and here we, you know, it's chilly out there, and we're standing there just in awe of what we were seeing. And hopefully you all were able to see it as well, or at least, if you know, tap into the fact that it was happening. I was texting my grandkids, my daughters, "Go outside, watch this." My son FaceTimed me and said, "Mom, are you out there? You didn't tell me there was an eclipse." I said, "Well, you should be watching my morning show because we've talked a lot about this particular eclipse." And I'm hoping as well, besides visually connecting with the eclipse, I'm hoping that you all have stories or tales of things that have been revealed to you during this time period. Remember, a lunar eclipse is because it is also a full moon. This particular full moon was quite powerful because it was a super moon. Super meaning that it was a moon that was within the 90% of the closest it ever comes to the Earth at this time. And it was something that looks bigger than when it's rising. And wow, I did get to see the moon rise last night. I was coming back from my daughter's house, helping paint her old house before she can sell that. And I was amazed at how big it looked when it was on the rise in the beautiful orangey yellow color. It was really very much a beautiful expression, let's say, of the sky in motion. And then I also had some wonderful ahas over the last several days that the last 3 days that have really catalyzed some things for me. And I'm hoping you guys all had that too. So if you want to share any of your ahas or any of your revelations or epiphanies or things that came to you during the lunar eclipse, please put them in the comments, and then we can all share what our ahas were. So I will share one of the biggest ones that happened for me in a little bit here, but I want to take a look ahead. What's going on this week up in the skies? So, of course, we start the week with the moon in Leo. That's where the eclipse happened, right at 1 degree, or just shy of 1 degree. So between 0 and 1 degrees of Leo and Aquarius. That's because yesterday morning, about 1 a.m., Sunday morning, my time, so 4 a.m. your time on the East Coast, the sun moved out of Capricorn and into Aquarius, and the energy then has shifted from the more taciturn, task-oriented public persona of Capricorn to the more inventive, unconventional, nonconformist energy of Aquarius. And so everybody in your charts, you're looking that up. One sign ahead now to what may be going on for you in your life over the next 30 days or so. So the moon is in Leo, the sun is in Aquarius. Today, the moon is in a trine aspect to both Mars and Venus, who are also in a trine to one another. So it's kind of interesting thing going on in the sky there as Mars and Venus energies flowing quite nicely. And as well, there's a trine to Jupiter from the moon as today. So we have really good energy for the day. Maybe that's why I feel sort of buoyed this morning, or maybe it's because I'm back home. I have internet that I can rely on. I feel like I'm at my desk with my things around me. I have just this feeling today of being back in my proper place, although it was kind of a fun interlude to be able to spend time at my daughter's house with my grandkids. What a week. Wow. What a week. You know, you forget. I mean, I had four kids, so I went through four of their middle school running around their, you know, pre-driving age, you know, where you were the one that had to get them everywhere and, or, you know, rely on other people to help you get them places. And so the fact that I was running around all day long, it seemed like at times, you know, getting this person to that place, getting that person to that place, feeding dogs, feeding my cat, coming home here. It was just a crazy week. So this week to me feels like, yes, I'm back in my proper place and that things are going to be smoother. But I also am buoyed by the eclipse, I believe. It feels to me that there's more, well, I want to say optimism, but I don't know that optimism would be the right word. But maybe the word I'm thinking of is possibilities, that the lunar eclipse took and brought something to a close. And now that that has happened, there are new opportunities. And maybe they haven't quite appeared in this moment, but they are, I feel, on the horizon. And that gives me a sense of excitement and joy building, perhaps. Or maybe it literally is that trine to Jupiter today, which gives me optimism about the future. So I'm hoping you're all feeling that too. You know, it's a Monday morning. I know we all feel a little bit lethargic on Monday mornings, but you know, I'm actually not so lethargic as I feel sort of excited about what comes next. Today, we are also looking at a Mars square Saturn. So remember, a square is a challenge. That means the gauntlet is being thrown down to us in some way, some shape, some form. And the gauntlet is between Mars, the planet of action, and moving forward, a little bit reactive and all about the action. And Saturn in Capricorn, whose focus is on stamina and is on the traditional. He doesn't necessarily want things to change, but Mars just wants anything to move ahead. And it is some interesting energy because these planets, the two, Mars and Saturn, sometimes work together really well. And other times they are at loggerheads with one another. And it reminds me of what's going on in at least the United States between Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, and the President as it relates to the whole government shutdown, in that Aries, Mars energy wants forward motion, wants something, anything to be done and to break an impasse, to move forward, to get ahead, to what I think is, you know, the energy of sometimes not smart behavior. What is the word? I have this word in my head, but just that we're headstrong. There we go. Headstrong energy that just wants to push forward, irregardless of the consequences. And then there's Saturn that is completely different in that respect, where it wants to stick with the tradition. It wants to stay with the status quo. However things are, it doesn't want to push forward. It wants to stay. It is the total MAGA, make America great again kind of feeling, where, you know, there's a sense of wanting to go backwards to a time that was better. But in reality, what they're saying is they want to stay and keep things the same, you know, and not move forward and push ahead with a trajectory that is more open and more equality oriented, that kind of thing. So we have these two planets that are sort of like that today and will set the tone for the entire week. Mars in Aries is assertive. It is action and sometimes reaction. It is about the new and the exciting. It is ready to make things happen. where Saturn is more focused on the old stamina, old order and traditions, reality, the status quo, and it is like the foot on the brake to Mars's wanting to put the foot on the gas. So what happens when you have your foot both on the gas and on the brake? You don't get very far very fast, right? Because the pressure of one holding you in place while the pressure of the other one pushing that one forward, you can leave a lot of retreads on the ground, right? a lot of skid marks on the ground with this one. So we have to find a way today, and I think throughout this week, to be able to move forward, but in a more positive way. We don't want to just squeal forward, right? We don't want to jump forward and run into the wall, literally. Ooh, that's funny. I didn't mean to say wall, but I did. That's funny. So we don't want to move forward and run into whatever the obstacles are head on, right? But we also can't stay in place, right? Staying in place is not getting us anywhere. In fact, people are going to start, you know, feeling the pinch if they're already feeling the pinch financially from the shutdown. So things have to get moving, right? We have to get them moving, but we don't want to just shoot off in any direction just to break the impasse. But we also don't want to go dragging our country backwards or dragging your own personal life backwards to get to where you want to go. So it's an interesting way to start the week post eclipse, but it is one that I think is going to be able to break up this impasse. I think we see some real positive movement in this particular week because things are possible now that weren't possible before the lunar eclipse. So let's see who's out here this morning. Good morning, Diana. Good to see you from Seattle. Mimi, let's see. Good morning to you. Oh, what is that popping up? The eclipse feels like an attempt to balance the we and the me. The scales will be bouncing around for a while. Oh, I'm sure they will be. Because, of course, this was Leo and Aquarius energy. Leo energy wants the center stage, is the drama king, is the narcissist, can be the narcissist, can be arrogant, can be, you know, me, me, me. But Aquarius is the we, right? We all the way home. No, it is Aquarius energy is the energy of humanity and of humanitarianism and takes the bigger picture, the group mind, if you will. The age of Aquarius will be much more about the group and consensus and that type of thing. And of course, we are not there yet, but the energy is pushing us in that direction. So great observation, Mimi. Good morning, Tina. Tina here, badass eclipse last night. I know, it was awesome. I was so excited to be able to see it from my part of the world. Good morning, Michelle Brooks. Good morning, Colleen. Good morning, Vanita. And let's see, Mimi, good to see you back home. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Good morning, Vicky Smith. And of course, we already said hi to our Michelle. And Debbie Hayden, good morning to you. Good morning, Angie. Yay. She says, I made it. Happy eclipse day. That's right. For you all on the East Coast, your eclipse happened early in the morning. So for us, the eclipse was between 8:30 and 10:30 last night. So that would have put it around, 11:30 to 2:30, 1:30 your time. Suzanne, good morning to you. Blessed eclipse. Glad to see you all here. We're glad to see you as well. And Debbie, good to see you. Good to meet you. Thank you for being here with us this morning. So let's take a look at some of the other highlights of the week. And, you know, this is one of those weeks where I think there's going to be a lot of personal impact for people. As the planets involved in this week's astrology are the moon, of course, always, but the inner planets making transits to one another and to some of the outer planets. And when that happens, when there's a lot of connections like that, personally, we have a lot going on for ourselves because your own chart, it's like, you know, being pinged in different places and opportunities popping up maybe where there were none before, change happening maybe where there wasn't anything moving before. So it does bode well for the week and maybe is what is part of my optimism about, you know, post lunar eclipse, because there are things opening up for us. The first big news tomorrow is the Venus conjunct Jupiter in the morning sky. Look east, maybe while it's dark and before sunrise, maybe about 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 in the morning, and you can see Venus and Jupiter inching closer and closer together. Tomorrow is the conjunction. And that's very highly optimistic and positive as well. We'll be a little bit prone to excesses. So you want to make sure you don't overdo it in any kind of way, overworking, overspending, overblowing what your possible actions might be. You know, you don't want to commit yourself to death. But on the other hand, it helps us align with growth and it helps us align with our values. And it also opens up the pathway for finances. So tomorrow may be a very good financial day. Good morning, Ann John. It's so good to see you. Eclipse was early o'clock over here. Yep, 6:15-ish this morning, evening. All, by the way, that's right, it's evening for her. So I hope you got to take a look at it. It was gorgeous. Today or this week, we also have Mercury squaring Uranus. Now that one, Mercury and Uranus are like the low and the high octave of one another. And when I say low and high, I'm not meaning that in any kind of value judgment sort of way. It's just that Mercury rules the mind, the lower mind, and Uranus rules the higher mind. So we have a sense when these two planets come together in any way that we are having to align our mind with our higher self or our higher mind. But they're squaring one another. So we will be challenged to break out of the old patterns in our minds. It's interesting because I glanced quickly this morning. I had my Course in Miracles with me at my daughter's house, but somehow I just never managed to crack the book open during the week. And I noticed this morning that my lesson, because I just picked it up and looked at it, said, "My thoughts do not mean anything." Interesting way to start the week for me. When I'm looking at Mercury squaring Uranus, the challenge to break out of the mind's patterns, the lower mind's patterns, and live maybe from the perspective of the higher mind, we're challenged to rise to that occasion. And so that's happening later in the week. Mars is also in a trine to Jupiter this week. Smooth flow of energy, right, between the planet of action and the planet of optimism. Good luck, fortune smiling on us perhaps, meaning Mars giving us the energy and the fortitude, perhaps the opportunities to move forward in some way. My only foot on the brake advice to you is to make sure that you are moving in a direction that is correct for you. And that helps when you use your human design type strategy and authority to move in the direction that's correct for you. So when something opens up, you have a way to be able to connect with that and make a decision that is correct for you, or not make a decision at all, because maybe you're emotionally defined and you don't have clarity yet. If you have no clue what I'm talking about, you'll need to look up your human design chart, which, by the way, I really want you to do, because tomorrow we're going to spend the morning talking about the human design new year, which occurs tomorrow morning. And the 22nd of January is usually the first day of the human design year. It starts at the gate 41 of imagination and creative energy. So imagine that, right? Imagine the whole of the new year, human design wise, speaks to what do you want to create? What can you imagine? You know, there are theories that say that one of the reasons why Neanderthal man died off was because of his inability, the inability of that sect, that species of human, to be able to imagine themselves any more than what they are. And it was the dawn of the dual hemispheric brain that caused us to be able to have that ability to have a creative side of the mind, as well as to have a much more data-oriented, memory-oriented, fact-oriented side of the mind, calculating, etc. So once humanity was able, or the human species was able, to break into the dual hemispheres, then our ability to evolve leaped ahead. So here we have a sort of vestige of that with our human design, beginning with that energy of creative imagination. What can you aspire to, right? How can you see yourself beyond where you are now? And if we take a look at that, which we will tomorrow, we'll be able to get a snapshot of what some of the conditioning themes will be for the upcoming year, what we'll want to watch out for collectively. And if you have your own personal human design chart with you, you can take a look at some of the gates we will be talking about to see whether it is something that is already defined in your chart, and or if it is something that is opened in your chart, in which case you may be subject to conditioning during the next year. So we'll take a look at that tomorrow. I was going to do that as a webinar, and then because I was gone for the week, I just did not have the time to actually focus on preparing it in a way that would be appropriate for charging someone to sit through a webinar for that. So instead, I am going to do it in what is about an hour broadcast in the morning. And if we have questions, we can certainly set that up for another day. So this week, the moon is moving through the signs of Leo, Virgo, Libra, and we have a Scorpio weekend coming up, although it doesn't move into Scorpio until later in the evening on Saturday. All day Sunday, we will have the moon in Scorpio. So it's an interesting week. That particular area of the chart brings us through the energy of creativity, love and romance. It brings us through the details and being practical, down to earth. The moon brings us through the scales of Libra, being fair-minded and justice prevailing, fairness, diplomacy. And that's why I think maybe toward the middle to the late part of the week, we may see some breakthroughs in, at least here in the U.S., in the government impasse, maybe getting a pathway to getting people back to work. And then finally in the weekend, we have Scorpio, passionate, intense, and looking into the depths. So that's it basically for us for the week. It's not really just it, it's a lot, but it is something that will play out for each of us personally. This isn't a week that is so much out of our hands. You know, a lot of weeks lately, there have just been things well beyond our control. The outer planets dancing with one another, and they always represent the more collective energies and the evolutionary impulses that are running through not just the planet Earth or through humanity, but through the entire universe or the solar system. And this week, though, it's the personal planets. And so personally, the dynamics for us each as individuals opens up and we are able to take some steps and move forward. And Anne is saying she saw Venus and Jupiter as well. There's something just so, and I don't know, maybe it's just me, but obviously, Anne, you tap into this too. There's just something so visceral that goes on within me when I look at the stars or when I look at the sky. And it, I don't know if it's that connection that propels us backwards in time to our roots and our ancestors who must have looked up at the sky seeing these things and just wondered, WTH, right? What the heck is going on up there? Why is this happening? And look at that. For us now, at least, well, for me anyway, I understand the dynamics pretty much of what's going on in the sky, but it doesn't take away from the beauty that is Venus and Jupiter aligning, or the full super moon as it's rising on the horizon and looks like this giant ball, or the eclipse and how the moon turns red as the earth is passing between the sun and the moon. Ah, just gorgeous stuff, right? The sky. Okay, so nobody's saying anything about any ahas they might have had over the weekend. I still want you to put them up here if anything wonderful happened, any ahas, any epiphanies, any revelations, any completions, anything that came to a screeching halt or an end in your life. I want to know about it, because I'm now going to share something that came to me this weekend that blew me away, let's say. And it wasn't something new, right? It wasn't something new. It was something I already had like my finger on the pulse of. I'd already been aware of it, but somehow it just was at the right time in the right place in the shadow of the lunar eclipse to wake me up to something. And I want to, of course, share that with all of you. So I know this is going to cause a lot of people to question. They're going to want to know what's up, where this is happening in their charts. And hopefully we'll have time for a couple of those today. Maybe if not today, we'll take a look at it on through the week. But I want to talk to you about your rising sign. So I have this very dear friend who is a continual customer of mine. I mean, she's been a client of mine now for going on, I don't know, maybe 3 years. And I touch base with her every month about her astrology. And she sent me an email on Sunday morning, and or maybe it was Saturday night. I don't know. I saw it yesterday morning. And it said, "This rocked my world. I hope it rocks yours." And I was like, okay, so I'll bite. So I open up the email. I would have opened the email anyway. And it was a link to a video. And the video was to what I believe he's a Vedic astrologer. But what he was speaking about was how the rising sign in your chart, in your astrology chart, not your human design now, but your astrology chart. So, you know, a chart that would look something like this. And the rising sign is always in the same place at the 9 o'clock position of the chart. So right over here, I forgot I'm looking backwards. So here's the rising sign. So this morning's rising sign, if you will, and that would purely be based on the birth time or the time I drew up the chart, which was at, something like 8:41 this morning. No way. Oh yeah. That's weird. But it can't have been pulled at 8:41. Okay. It doesn't matter. The time doesn't matter. But the point in which I pulled the chart, the rising sign was at 29 degrees of Aquarius. Interesting. And here we're talking about some Aquarian things here today. So the rising sign in your astrology chart is your point of view. It is the sign that was on the eastern horizon at the moment of your birth. And it really drives your viewpoint, how you see yourself, the mask you wear, perhaps you could, you know, view it that way. And it is also the way that you value the world, or the way, maybe not value so much, but the way you see things, your perspective, right? Your point of view. So if you were born like this chart was a 29 degree Aquarius chart, you would see the world through Aquarian lenses. My rising sign is Cancer. I would see the world through Cancer lenses. Leo, you just take whatever it is that your sign is on the rise, and that is the lens that you're viewing the world through, the mask that you're wearing. But it's more than that. And I had heard this many times before, but this particular gentleman was able to put it in such great perspective. And later, I think I will share the video. It was a YouTube video I watched, and I think that might help clarify things for people. But he talks about the rising sign being the reason that you are here in this life, what it is that you came here to accomplish, what you wanted to experience in this lifetime. I've heard this many times before, that we incarnate with a rising sign that is going to push us to the things that we did not accomplish in our past lives. So he explains it like this. Let's say you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you that you have a vitamin D deficiency. And what do? You undertake to start supplementing your diet or whatever with vitamin D so that you can bring things in your body, the elements in your body, up to a balance, correct? Right? Does that make sense to people? You have a deficiency in your body, so you need to move in a different direction to help sustain life by balancing out those ingredients in your body or those vitamins or those elements. Well, in your astrology, it's the same thing. The descendant, which is the opposite point. So if this is the ascendant at 9 o'clock, the descendant is the opposite side. You see the letters DC in there. It is the 3 o'clock position on your astrology chart. So the descendant shows you where in your past lives you were overly focused, and that the rising sign then is where you saw the deficiency as you were planning to come into the planet in this lifetime. And you say, that is what I'm going to focus on in this lifetime. And I shared this with a couple of you yesterday and had, you know, conversations with a few, was it probably two or three of you out there. Who did I talk to yesterday? God, yesterday seems so long ago. And we were testing it out, kind of looking at, is this real? Is this something that we can, you know, really qualify in our lives? And I guess I was the third person. And yes, indeed, it is fascinating. If you take a look at your rising sign, it tells you the direction you're meant to go in this lifetime. So I have a couple of notes that I'm going to share with you about that. And as we go through it, I'm going to do it in pairs. So for example, Aries and Libra are pairs because they're exactly opposite from one another, right? And Taurus and Scorpio are partners. They're opposite of one another. So I'm going to do it that way. So pay, you know, you can pay attention to both, but they are sort of related. I am totally askew in my room here. There we go. All right, so we're going to start with Aries as the rising sign. So if you know your chart, and if you don't know your chart, I apologize. There's not much I can, okay, hold on. I got to share this with you. Angie says, I meditated and asked for a sign or symbol for humanity and saw peacock feathers last night. My rising sign is Leo, kind of opposite from my Pisces moon and sun. Rising sign Leo. So you'll want to pay attention to when we get to the Leo part of this. And, I think that's interesting. Peacock is such a wonderful, symbol. I just love that. Suzanne says, I have a sister that her sun is Virgo Libra cusp and her ascending and moon are Virgo and Libra. Poor kid. So we want just her ascendant, and her ascendant then would be Virgo. So you really want, you don't, even if it's on the cusp, you want the degree. If it's 29 to zero of a sign, it is in that sign. Okay. So then if it's 29 degrees Aquarius or 29 degrees Virgo, we're looking at a Virgo rising. Okay. So that's important. So if you are an Aries on the rise, then what it would show is that you spent your Aries would be on your rise and Libra would be on the descendant, because they're opposing signs. Aries is a sign, you know, of I am. It is the big I, the I. It's very much about you as an individual. And Libra is much more team oriented, right? Team oriented, relationship oriented. And when we have a rising sign in Aries, it speaks to past lives of not taking care enough of your own self, kind of dissolving your own self into the team or into the relationship. And in this lifetime, then you're meant to set yourself apart from that, pulling yourself out of the relationship and into the I am. And people with the rising sign of Aries then are here to take care of themselves, right? Because in past lives, maybe you were deep in a relationship, you were taken care of perhaps, or you were part of a team. And in this lifetime now, it is all about you, right? It is literally someone who needs to learn to become independent, but also needs to learn when to reach out and get help. It is someone whose focus is meant to be on taking care of themselves, yet they will struggle with that very concept, right? I find that when I look at my Cancer rising sign, I struggled with that polarity because parts of me are still being called to do things the way that I would have in other lifetimes, while this other part of me is very powerful and very enticing, and I really want to spend time over there. So there's this part of me that is, you probably notice it even in your own life as we carry on here, where you're being pulled in two different directions, seemingly, right? So if you have an Aries rising sign, you may feel very pulled to be in relationships. Yet maybe when you get into relationships, they blow up on you, or you don't feel good within the relationships, or you are constantly breaking out of the relationships, especially if they try to squelch your I am. And the trick here would be able to be for you to be able to find relationships where you were supported to be able to be your true and authentic self without dissolving into that relationship. Sorry, I still have that cough and it tickles my throat. Now, if you're Libra on the rise, it would be the exact opposite, right? The polar opposite, where you've spent many lifetimes as the I and I am, and making yourself independent and self-sufficient, creating a lot of possible self-sufficiency and self-acceptance and all of that. But in this lifetime, you're meant to move in the opposite direction. You're meant to be in relationships. You're meant to make relationships work in that you're blending the I into the we, right? Libra represents the we are, when Aries represents the I am. So there would be issues around cooperation, creating teamwork, creating win-win situations in your life, because it wouldn't be all about you, yet your natural inclination might be to make it all about you. You guys see how that's working out? Good morning, Kathy. She said, just got up. Good thing I tuned in. Since I am so new to this, I have no idea what's rising or falling. Well, nothing's falling particularly, so that's good. The rising sign is the sign that was on the horizon in the east when you were born, and it really drives your personality, your viewpoint, etc. Just as a quick review there, Suzanne took a look at what peacock means. Peacock is a possessor of some of the most admired human characteristics and is a symbol of integrity and the beauty we can achieve when we endeavor to show our true colors. In history, myth, legend, and lore, the peacock symbolism carries portents of nobility, holiness, guidance, protection, and watchfulness. Nice. Nice, nice, nice. So that would be an important thing for you to consider, since that was a symbol that came to you, Angie. And what does that mean for you? I think that's pretty powerful. Okay, so now let's look at the Taurus and Scorpio rising. So if you have a Taurus rising, your focus in this lifetime has to be pulled away from the Scorpio end of intense, passionate depth to the more solid, security, earth-oriented, value-oriented lifetime. There has to be an emphasis on what you value, on earning, on cultivating practical applications of things in this lifetime. Likely in Scorpio, there were lifetimes spent in deep study, maybe esoteric, mystical and metaphysical things. And in this lifetime, it becomes much more earth-centered. So you may have to pull yourself out of that deep psychological, passionate sort of energy into the more practical, down-to-earth, pragmatic energy, creating a sense of stability and security for the people in your world and also for yourself. It's almost like having to come back down to earth and land and find your Taurus stability. And in that stability, there's a sense of having to be planted, right? Planted. Where in Scorpio, if you're on the Scorpio side of the rising, in a Scorpio rising sign would make you much more willing and able and needing to delve into the depths of psychology, the depths of religion, perhaps, or of any of the metaphysical studies, of anything that is depth-oriented. And it really isn't always the subjects that are grounded and down to earth, right? Scorpio is about transformation. And so that energy on the rise, if it's Scorpio, is a lifetime of transforming. And there may be many times of change in that lifetime, where the Taurus other side was a lifetime of much more being rutted or staying in one position. You know, and I can imagine it being, if you have Taurus on the descendant, lifetimes of being a farmer or of a landowner, being, you know, in one place, growing up, living and dying in the same place as your ancestors, where when you have the Scorpio rise, then your life may not be able to be that way. There would be many opportunities for you to move away from and transform the energy of the old and the solid. So you can see how that polarity plays out. If you have a Gemini rising sign, the Gemini rising sign is about relating to the more youthful, curious, information sort of energies. Gemini follows curiosity, right? As a Gemini sun, I'm always calling it, I call it pulling threads, where I just find an interesting subject. This subject caught my attention yesterday, and I was pulling on that thread, looking to get to the final answers. But Gemini energy on the rise is really about being playful, around being much more youthful and curious and following that information stream just because it's fun. And, you know, looking at life as a game, as opposed to the more serious end, right? The Sagittarius end looks for depth and looks for meaning, and is much more of the adventure. They're looking for the answers to life's bigger questions. And so when you have Sagittarius on the rise, you're usually an expert in something. You know, you might choose a research project in this life, and you're moving into the depths of that project, where Gemini would be skirting the top of whatever it is that is interesting to them. Sagittarius would want the deeper meaning, and they would be searching for those bigger truths, right? The capital T truths. And there's also an element of freedom in that particular sign that the person would be looking for if it was on the rise. And let's see, anybody asking questions? Gemini rising here. So Suzanne, if life is too serious for you, then you've moved to the descendant side. You need to move over to the more childlike side, playing with children, hanging out with youth. I always think of it as, you know, my husband loves to listen to the oldies. That's his favorite radio station. I only like to listen to the oldies if they are bands that the youth of today are listening to. Like right now, it's big to listen to AC/DC and to Kiss and to Queen. And those were guys that were around when I was a kid. So to me right now, they're like, oh yeah, I really want to listen to that, but I don't want to listen to some of the other older stuff. And I listen to, if I can, to the newer kind of music. That's Gemini on the rise, is always following what's youthful, what's fun, what's playful, what's dynamic in the now, where Sagittarius is looking for the deeper part of that. So then we move to Cancer and Capricorn. So Cancer and Capricorn to me was fascinating because, of course, the nodes are there as well. So all of us are looking at this Cancer Capricorn energy in some way. If you have a Cancer rising sign, then you are here to be family oriented. You are here to live a life of the family as a mother figure, perhaps, or as a dominant family member. And your focus then is on everything to do with tradition, holding together the family, as if in your previous lifetimes, which would have been in Capricorn, they were more business oriented, much more work oriented, maybe career and profession was overtaking you, and you recognized the deficiency was the time that you didn't get to spend with family. So in this lifetime, the focus is on family. When you have Capricorn on the rise, it is just the opposite. Right? A lifetime maybe of much more focus on family, and you didn't get an opportunity to be the public persona or have a career or be established as a career person. So in this lifetime, you're pursuing business, or you're pursuing some form of work and public life. Does this make sense to everybody? Is this starting to really blend in and you can kind of see how it is that this plays out? I know I when I first was listening to this yesterday, I realized that one of the dilemmas I always am experiencing in this life, and I've noticed it for a long time, is that I constantly feel pulled between family and my work, and always seemingly having to give up my work for my family. And I mean, that was pretty obvious even in this last week, as I was asked to, you know, stay at my daughter's house with the dogs and my grandkids. And of course, my heart was there. I really wanted to, but I was also thinking about the impact on my business and feeling that tug of war, right, between the two. Well, in my life, what must win is family, right? That's I should be back. Oh God, that is so funny because, you know, here I'm home. I'm not supposed to have this problem, but I was frozen and there didn't seem like I could do anything about it either. Usually if I just wait, it comes back. But this time I actually had to reconnect to the internet. And I don't know if maybe that's still something that's happening because of my computer's reset then, but I'm back. So thank you. Family froze me. Yes, they did. Lynn, yep, gotcha. And I wanted to read something to you that Suzanne, remember I was talking about the Gemini rising and that being, you know, childlike and enthusiasm from a child's perspective. And she said, no wonder my daughter is always telling me I am a child. Oh God, that's funny. It's funny because maybe your daughter has much more of a stern, maybe she has a Capricorn rising, right? And for her, it's like, what are you doing? You're having too much fun. And you're such a child, but in reality, you're really meant to live from that more childlike perspective. Okay. So now we're going on to, did I do Capricorn? So when you have a Capricorn rising, then it's much more about your public persona and your recognition in the world. That's what you're after, right? Ability to be seen as an authority figure, your reputation in the world, in meaning people, you know, you want to be seen in your best light. And it's the focus on your public persona, where Cancer on the other end is also much more personal. And your focus is more on the personal than the public. So that would finish off Cancer and Capricorn. Next would be Leo. Leo on the rise needs the center stage. And I know lots of you out there who have Leo rising. And it's funny because I used to think I had a Leo rising. That's the funny story. Like I had my birth time wrong. I insisted I was a Leo rising. And when I got my real birth certificate with my real birth time and it made me a Cancer rising, I really about just had a tantrum because I didn't I didn't want to have a Cancer rising. I wanted to have a Leo rising. So here you all are out there with these Leo risings, and you have the sign I wanted to have, because then it was about being in the center stage, being in the limelight, and being able to live from your heart center and not from what you feel like you have to do. Leo is meant to be the drama king and the drama queen if it's on the rise, right? You are meant to be seen. You are meant to pull yourself out of the Aquarius descendant of blending your energies in with the group, and you are meant to be the standout. And I don't see Londa out here this morning, but she is one of my friends that has a Leo rising. Not only that, she's a Leo, and she's, I think, also has a Leo moon. And so she's a triple Leo, and she always finds herself mired in group, right? In group, or in the people that are trying to work together to do something. And there's nothing wrong with that in general, except that when you have a Leo rising, you're meant to be then the head of that group, the figurehead, even the person that leads the group. You're meant to be in that leadership role. You're meant to be seen, meant to be heard, meant to be acting from your own desires and from that place of being in the center stage, the middle of everything. Now, flip that. And if you have an Aquarius rising sign, you are definitely here to march to the beat of your own drummer, but you are here to blend your energies within that of the group. As opposed to standing apart from the group, you are standing as a part of the group. So you have the inventive originality, the nonconformism, but you need to learn how to blend those energies with other people around you. So you work better with group energy, and you're here in this life to make your dreams come true by working with other people, right? Blending your energies to make a bigger project work better instead of the Leo dynamic, which would be the one where you were the one that made everything happen. So it's the difference between the group mind and the mind that is very self-centered. And I don't mean that in a bad way. When I say self-centered, you guys got to know I never really mean it as a bad thing. If I wanted to be making something like self-centered negative, I would call it selfish or narcissistic, right? To me, self-centered is when you're able to understand who you are and what you're meant to do, and live from that place, your truth, and not necessarily living from somebody else's belief about what you need to do or who it is that you need to be. All right, now let's go to the Virgo Pisces axis. Virgo is all about being here in the now, being very much like Taurus, grounded, practical, you know, being here in this moment. There's also a sense of healing energy here with Virgo, and almost as if that Pisces previous lifetime, you were escapist or you were too dreamy. You never came down for a landing. You never really applied practically in very concrete, sequential ways the things that you knew, the concepts that you studied, or the life, you know, just never got grounded here. It reminds me of, you know, sort of that airy sort of energy that just never gets to be concretized. And Virgo energy then on the rise is about a lifetime where you're putting in, out practical, organized, pragmatic energy. And also with a Pisces on the descendant, you may not have been overly concerned about your health. And remember, Pisces has an escapist tendency to it. So sometimes we find people escaping through art or dance or drugs or alcohol or sex or gambling. Addictive type behaviors can come up through that Pisces escapism where they're trying to get away from the real. But in Virgo, if Virgo's your rising, you've got to descend and be here in your body, in the physical, living a more purified life. Purified meaning in your body, living from a more holistic viewpoint and not so much that la-la land that Pisces has. Now, If you had the Pisces rising, it's the other way. You've spent too many lives in the worried about your health or being overly pragmatic and analytical, seeing the details and not the trees, not the bigger details, the bigger picture. And your Pisces rising then is causing you to take a look at the bigger picture, to be able to dream the dream, to not be so facts and figures, please, and be more dreamy and outlandish and striving for the unseen. Sometimes Pisces on the rise does have issues around those addictive behaviors because they don't understand exactly, because the real life that they had before, the reality-based lifetimes they had before, they don't feel like they can come down for a landing yet in this lifetime. So they resist that dreaminess and that escapism. So interesting dynamic across that particular rise. And the person with the Pisces on the rise then has to learn to be more dreamy, while the Virgo on the rise has to learn to be more pragmatic and very much down to earth. I think sometimes people who had the Virgo on the descendant and are living a Pisces life are so worried about their health and are so worried about healing that they forget that there's a whole nother part that goes on. That there's a component, a spiritual component to themselves, and that a lot of the healing that needs to go on has to happen from the spiritual point of view and not just the body's perspective, where Virgo on the rise has to deal with the physical as well as the spiritual. I hope all of that makes sense. Let's see what people are saying. Aisha, good morning. I am an ascendant Cancer rising. We talked about Cancer rising, and it is about the orientation of family, being family oriented and being more personally engaged with family and less concerned about your public persona. So it is a person who spent many lifetimes in business, maybe in a position of authority. And in this lifetime, they have to let go of that and in favor of being the mom, being the dad, being the matriarch of the family, whatever it is. It's much more family oriented and creating home, nurturing. It's very feminine energy. Suzanne says, this is great information, Janet. It is definitely, it, like I said, it was one of those things where I read it and I went, I listened to this video and I was like, oh my God, of course I've known this all along, just not to the profound level where it sunk in yesterday for me. And so that was huge. Thank you, Angie. Let's see, Suzanne, we love our oddballs the most. We do indeed. Angie says, I'm always the oddball, always the odd man out or oddball out. And does that mean, Angie, that you have an Aquarius rising, that you're feeling odd? Suzanne, she's a Virgo rising. Who's a Virgo rising? Oh, well, I'm lost here a little bit because probably this conversation was taking place when I nodded off. Love these morning shows. Great. Thank you. All right. Well, anyway, if anybody has any other questions or comments, I'll be looking for those. In the meantime, I want to share a couple of things that are coming up this week. And I will post, if I can find the link, I think I kept the email, so I do have the link. I'll post the YouTube video on my page and you guys can go in and watch it and hear what he, from his perspective, what he's saying about it. So I want to show you guys something. I got this on Friday, the Energy Almanac, and it is awesome. I want to show you, it has this if for all of you that don't know, that are new, maybe watching us this morning. The Energy Almanac was a project I was involved in earlier in the fall. And I wrote the astrology for the almanac, which is a compilation of astrology, numerology. There's things in here about oils and what was the other thing? Positive affirmations, movements for the month, creative coaching resources for the month. And there's also the beautiful artwork for the month. Some of you are familiar with this artwork in that Tam and I have been working on something called Astro Inklings, where the astrology is broken down into artwork, right? So this is the one for March. I thought it was quite colorful. So she integrates the astrology, the moons, whatever's happening that month into the artwork. And then as you move on, then you get to March, right? And I title each of those months Out with the Old, In with the New. And then you have the full breadth of everything that's going on astrologically for that month. And let me see if I could do this. How do I get this over here? I'm so bad at this, you guys. Okay, here we go. Don't do this. What March musings are about, the shadows that are at work. I went through the don't do's, the do's, and you can see there's a lot of information here. Then she also put in the specific moons for each of the months, and which I also wrote, and then the numerology. So this is an all-inclusive book. It is wonderful. We are already working on the 2020 edition. This was the inaugural issue. So grab this up. I will also post the link to where you can buy this. And I don't even remember now what the cost of it was, but to me, the cost is nothing when you take into consideration that you have this at your fingertips for the whole of 2019. And I think she even perforated these pages so that you could cut out, that you could take out the page that was, you know, the artwork for the week, and you could frame it, or you could, you know, post it on your board or something like that. So interesting, right? So get your copy of the Energy Almanac, still available and totally worth it, no matter what you have to spend for that. Tomorrow, reminder, we're going to be working through human design, the new year for human design. Have your human design charts with you. If you do not have your human design chart yet, hit me up today. I'm going to put my website address. Go to the website and request your human design chart. Now, for some of you who have already gotten your chart, you may hit me up and you may say, can I get another copy? Well, guess what? I lost everybody's birth information from my human design program in my computer snafu. So please, if you're going to email me and say, send me another chart, please put your birth date and your birthplace and your birth time in there for me, because I may not have access to that information anymore. And help me rebuild my database then in my human design program by doing that. And yes, I will indeed do that for you, Suzanne. Thank you very much for asking me to do that. Angie says she's got an almanac. I love it. And no, Vanita, you did not miss Leo Rising. Leo Rising was where it is all about you, right? This is a lifetime for you to be the center of attention, to come out of the group shadow and emerge as the drama queen, drama king, and to be the center of attention, to do what's right for you from your heart and not necessarily considering the impact on everybody else. And as long as you don't go into the dark side of narcissism and arrogance, then your rising sign will support you into becoming the center of attention. And that's exactly what you're meant to do. Emerging from the group mind. That's kind of another word I could use for that for you. Let's see, what else did I want to tell you about tomorrow? Of course, we talked about the show tomorrow morning. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Wednesday is my new regular day for being on Angel Heart Radio with Annette McCoy in Australia. The show is on Wednesday morning in Australia at 10 a.m. She lives in Melbourne, so that would be the east coast of Australia. And on the west coast here, it will be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 p.m. on our east coast. You might want to tune in. We're going to be taking a look. If you miss the human design information tomorrow, we'll be looking at that as well as some of the other big news items coming up. Thursday, I will be at my friend Cornelia's house for the Ascension and Astrology show. I am not taking any chances that we're not going to be able to connect. So I'm going to be at her house, sitting side by side with her. We will be sharing the mic, and talking about ascension and astrology and what does that mean for all of us. So I look forward to that. 4 p.m. West Coast time, 7 p.m. East Coast time, Thursday. And nothing big for Friday, so except for the look at the weekend. All right, everybody, I'm going to draw a card. How's that? Right? I haven't gotten to draw cards because I kept forgetting to grab them when I would get home and take them with me to my daughter's house. It would be like, oh no, it's 1:45. I got to leave. And I'd leave and then go, oh darn, I forgot my cards. So I'm going to draw a wisdom from the Wisdom of the Oracle deck by Colette Baron Reed. This will be a card for the week. And then I think I'll draw an animal card for the week as well, just because. Vanita says, oh, I'm failing miserably. No, you're not, because you've just now learned something and you can take steps now to bring yourself out of the darkness and put yourself into the center stage, right? You are meant to shine. You're meant to be the lioness, Vanita, and stand out. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Soulmates. Ooh, we've not had this card before, I don't think. The Soulmates card jumped out, card number 41, which is a 5. I know our friend Suzanne here will jump on that and take a look at that for us. And let's take a look at what card 41, Soulmates, means. And that's interesting, 41, because it's the gate 41 that the human design year begins on. I'm always looking for how these things tie together somehow. So the essential meaning for this card is harmonious partnerships, love, friendship, companionship, a relationship fostering personal growth. And the Oracle's message is you are meant to evolve and transform with the companionship of others. Certain people enter into your life in order to take you to the next level of healing, consciousness, and authenticity. It is always a reciprocal experience, although the results for each of you will vary. You know these people by the strong pull drawing you toward them, and sometimes by a strong aversion to them initially as well. Soulmates can be friends for life or remain in your life for only a short time. No matter what, you will be changed in ways you can't possibly fathom now. Pay attention to these people today. They are your greatest gifts. I would say pay attention to these people this week. They are your greatest gifts, because I was drawing a card for the week. So that's pretty cool. The relationship message. Consider love in the deepest sense, love so powerful that you will never be the same, regardless of how long your relationship lasts. Consider friendships and romantic bonds so compelling that they overwhelm you with gratitude or break you open so you will finally claim who you were meant to be. Even a companion animal reminds you that it is you who is being rescued and healed. Pay attention, for you are in the presence of a soulmate come to guide you home to the real you. The prosperity message says strategic alliances are most important right now as you begin to attract the perfect people to support your dreams. This is a journey you will share with others, mentors, business partners, helpers, employees, creative partners, friends, and strangers. Open doors for you and step through the portal to join you in a harmonic dance of collaboration, commitment, and co-creation. This is what you've been waiting for. Love that card. Okay, now let's pull an animal card that is also going to help us this week. Wow, I really blew it putting those ones away. There we go. These are also, this is called the Spirit Animal Oracle deck by Colette Baron Reed. Beautiful, beautiful deck. I love this deck. By the way, it was last week where the week before last, this was the card we pulled, Nightingale, right? And it was also card number 41. It's amazing we get that number. So this is going to be the animal that's going to guide us. Wouldn't it be fun to get the peacock? And I'm not looking at the cards, people. So if we get peacock, it's meant to be. It's not something I made up. It's not something I made happen, but we did get an interesting card. The electric eel spirit. Bring your ideas to life. But it was upside down. Well, it was upside down to me, but I would show it to you this way, right side up. Electric eel. So that's an interesting animal. If I put that there, no, it's out of the camera. What card number? 24. So it's a 6. 24. Of course, we haven't used this deck very long, so all of the cards are kind of new to us, aren't they? So, Electric Eel Spirit, bring your ideas to life. The oracle message is, seemingly out of nowhere, the jolt of Electric Eel Spirit appears to awaken you to a big idea that you are meant to explore. Epiphanies and aha moments are gifted to you right now, so celebrate. Your life has the potential for profound transformation. Inspiration arises in you, electrifying you, so that you can't wait to get started bringing your idea to life. The revelations you experience now are meant to set you on a new path, so do not be afraid to act, explore, examine, and do not fear the changes that may come, for Spirit wants to shower you with love, success, and abundance that you hope to experience. Now is a thrilling time of epiphanies, inspired ideas, and innovation. This is a wondrous sign for you today. I think that's still a part of the whole lunar eclipse, right? Because these things don't just happen as, I mean, they do. I mean, literally, we could visually connect with the eclipse at the moment it happened, but the energy was applying pressure to us. Then it was there and it was, you know, perfected. And now it is in its separating phase or its waning phase. So we still have the opportunity for that kind of energy to manifest for us. So pretty cool. The Electric Eel and Soulmates, two great cards, I think, for us to look ahead for this particular week. One last look here and see if people had any questions. Suzanne has posted the angel number 6 and what its meaning is, and that's because the Electric Eel, which I already mixed back into the deck, is number card 24, which 2 + 4 is a 6. So that's where she's getting that. Vanita, failing in this department too. Oh, you'll get it, girl. I swear you'll get it. And any other questions here? Lynn, great show. Have to go. Bye, Lynn. I'm sure she's already gone. Debbie Hedden says, I'm a Gemini with a Leo rising. Awesome. So your Gemini self is already filled with curiosity and wanting information and that playful, youthful energy. With a Leo rising, you know, Leo is also another youthful sign. There are three signs that I always think of as very youthful, and that would be Gemini, Aries, and Leo. And Leo's youthfulness is kind of about being the center of attention, the character that everybody wants to be, that, you know, calls attention to themselves. But I would bet that attention gets called to you even if you're running from the attention. Leos often suffer, the Leo rising can suffer from a lack of confidence. And so they'll run to the group identity to hide from the feeling of not being confident enough to be the center of attention. But you need to run to become the center of attention, doing what you will based on what your desires are, right? Your heart desires. Let's see, any other things here? Angel number 6, I had already talked about. All right, I guess that is it for us this morning. Oh my gosh, it's 12 minutes after 9. I cannot believe that. That's an hour and 15 minutes. Holy cow. Well, it was worth it. I loved spending every minute of that hour and 15 minutes with you all. I hope you gained a lot of information and insight for yourself today. I will be back here tomorrow morning with the show on the Human Design New Year. So don't forget, get your Human Design chart out, dust it off, get ready to use it. If you need another one, let me know and I will make sure I get that to you. But don't forget, I do not have access to it or your information anymore. So you'll need to provide me with your birth stats, dates, all of the goodies for you personally. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Love you all. See you later. Bye for now.